Welcome to Creative Maine, an hour-long monthly program produced for and broadcast by Community Radio WERU, 89.9 FM Blue Hill, and at weru.org. This show considers the making of craft, fine art, food, literature, music, dance, museums, and any other form of creative expression here in Maine. We also discuss topics of global cultural significance and interest. My name is Adina Salmonson, and I am your host for this monthly exploration of all things creative. Should you have comments, questions, input, or suggestions for the show, send them to info@weru.org. Please list Creative Maine in the subject line. On today's episode, we lean into the iconic artists of summer, buskers. We will discuss outdoor performance with caricaturist Emily Shares, string band musician Zach Woodard, also known as Dusty Buckets, and Steve Norris, member of the brass trio, the Blue Hill Brass. Welcome, Emily Scher, to Creative Maine. I am really happy to have you on. It's such fun. I have never talked to a caricaturist before. And so you are an artist who performs live at festivals like the Grey Wild Blueberry Festival. So can you tell us a little bit about what is a caricaturist? What do you do?
Alrighty. First of all, hello as well. I'm very excited to have this opportunity. What is a caricaturist? A caricature artist is somebody who draws people and tries to capture their likeness the best way they can.
Mm-hmm.
And usually there's exaggeration in that. Like if somebody has a big nose, I exaggerate the nose. And that can really make it very recognizable to the person. The definition of what I do as a caricature artist is I actually put entertainment even over the likeness part.
Yeah.
Like I try to make their likeness as best as I can, but I also know that I'm here to entertain people. I'm here to make them laugh or make them smile or get a reaction out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'll work to put that even over that. You know what I mean?
Well, how do you do that? So do you chat to people while you're doing it, or do they stand behind you and watch you work and say, "Ooh, I see that feature of me coming out," or whatever?
Yeah. When I'm doing people, I sit so they can't see my drawing yet. So it's like a big reveal at the end. I let other people, if they want to watch, they can watch behind me.
Yeah, so you don't allow. So yeah, it's a bit of a surprise when they finally do see it. That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, do you chat with people? Do you entertain them that way?
Right. I try my very hardest to chat with people. I'm still new to this, so it's pretty hard for me to be drawn, like focusing on the drawing and focusing on what they're saying at the same time.
Yeah.
But knowing their personality really helps me gather their likeness.
Because
isn't just about what they look like. It's also about their personality and putting that into them.
Well, that was my next question, actually. I was going to ask you how you came up with the idea of on-the-spot art and how difficult is it to get the sense of a person that you've only just met a minute ago?
Yeah. Firstly, I didn't come up with the idea of doing art like in front of people right there. There's always been artists that do that. There are many amazing artists in Maine that do that, like for weddings or just many different kinds of events. I was just kind of put on to how that they do it. Like I found out that people do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can do that too.
How did you connect it with your own skill set? Like, what were you doing before that led you to that spot?
I usually, in my own art, I love to draw people and I love to create stories. And I actually met a fellow caricature artist at my sister's wedding. And she was like, "Hey, I contract artists to do jobs that I can't do. So do you want to like train with me to be a caricature artist?" And I took that opportunity. I'd never done caricature art before that, but it's a good opportunity for me to make money on art, which is something I didn't think I'd be able to do, like ever in my life. It's a very competitive field.
It is.
So I do jobs for her.
So, what was your artistic journey before you met this woman and she changed your trajectory a little bit? What did you do before?
I did a lot of different things. Usually, just like I said, drawing people. I like creating stories. It was in like high school when I started to branch out into painting, like with acrylics and watercolor, and did some clay sculpturing. And then college broke me out of that narrow mindset of mediums even more. So I found out how to like do things with wood and build things.
Did
And
you go
right
to
now
college for art?
I did, yes. Yeah. I went to SMCC with an art major, or I graduated with an art major, just an associate's degree.
Well, sure, but it, like you say, it opened up your mind and
Yeah.
your talent to other skills. Yeah.
Yeah, it really did. Right now I'm apart from my job, I like to sew and make costumes. Yeah.
What is your day gig?
I'm in between stuff right now. I used to be a dishwasher. I'm looking for something a little bit more on the mind, challenging on the mind.
Yes.
But
Well, you know, it's
everything's really up
interesting.
in the air right now.
I taught culinary for many, many years, 21 years or something, and I always would give my students the statistic that something like 68% of all Americans started their working lives with a career in food service somewhere.
Yep.
It does pay those bills.
It does. Yeah. And a lot of artists, a lot of even caricature artists like me around are also doing day jobs. The caricature season is really in like spring to fall. And in the winter, it's very low. There's not a lot of jobs in the winter because, people don't really want to have events in the cold. So a lot of artists gotta do something else as well. So
Do
they're
you take commissions? Do you do things for people where you can take your time and maybe enhance your caricatures with paint or watercolor?
I don't right now. I work with just like regular cardstock paper and a Crayola black marker. That's what I work with right now. You never need expensive materials to make good art and something worth giving people.
I find that to be a little daunting. You know, it's when you use a marker, it's commitment. You know, you put that marker on the paper, and there's not much you can do about it after that.
You gotta be sure. You gotta be sure. So I like to try to plan it out in my mind before, but
Well, you have a good deal
I'm
of confidence, I would say.
you have to have confidence. But I'm really working on honing those skills before anything else. And I like being in the moment. I found it so much more fun to be talking to people and revealing it to them right there. And instead of taking hours on one thing to make it look perfect. So I'll probably, maybe I'll do that in the future. Maybe I'll take commissions in the future and use fancy paints and fancy canvases and stuff. But that's not what I'm looking for right now.
Have you ever done a wedding like the person you trained with?
I'll be having my first wedding job in October. So not yet, but it's coming up.
So is that where you sit and the various guests come up to you and you just do them as they come up, like kind of like a photo booth except in art?
Exactly. Yep.
Huh. That's very cool, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to Jane and Joe's wedding and I got a portrait.
Yeah, it's really fun to have just at an event. I mean, that's not even me, like, hire me, like going like that. I think it's very fun.
Yeah, so you enjoy that form of audience engagement because there's a personal interaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Have
I
you
like
ever
learning about people.
done a caricature you kind of wished you could take back?
Many in the beginning, many.
That's funny.
You always worry about putting out something that the customer thinks is going to be worth it, worth their money and worth their time. And that's hard to get over as an artist, especially when you're new to something. Because you as an artist, you're always going to be comparing yourself to other artists. But you just have to kind of brush that to the side and kind of get over it while you're doing it.
Well, you're sort of
Otherwise, it really
putting
won't be worth
together
it.
your own style, aren't you?
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah, I'm slowly figuring it out. Just I'm studying how other caricature artists do their stuff, what kind of lines they make, how thick they make them here, and how thin they make them here. And
So the actual nuts and bolts of it. So bring us to a festival, and we're invisibly sitting behind you. So what is it like? What's an hour in the life, as it were?
it's pretty straightforward usually. They just come up and I have two chairs there and they're like, "Can you draw me?" And I go, "Yeah, of course." And then they sit down and it takes about 10, 15 minutes at most. Depends on how many people. I can do one person or I can do like six people.
In a group.
Yeah. All together in one. And either they talk to me or I talk to them while I'm drawing. I try to talk to them.
Do you do any
Yeah.
leading
And
questions like, oh, so what's your name? Where are you from?
yeah, basically, like I ask what they do, what they try to do, what they do for hobbies. I try to ask that.
Cool.
Still working on the social part of it. It's been a hard thing for me to do, but I'm getting there.
You're getting there. Well, do you have any interesting festival stories that you could share, as long as you're
Honestly,
appropriate?
I'm lucky. I think I'm lucky to say that nothing crazy has ever happened. I
Okay.
think it's good that I don't have any stories, because if I had stories, it probably meant something went wrong. So,
So, in a day at, say, the Gray Wild Blueberry Festival, which is coming up right at the end of July.
it is August. It's August 8th, 8th and 7th.
Okay. So
So Friday and Saturday.
let's say on a typical Saturday, which is probably the busiest day, right? How many people do you draw in the course of a typical day?
So usually I am on like 2 hour event jobs and I usually draw maybe 30 people. In that time frame, maybe
Oh, wow.
25. Oof, when the Blueberry Festival is probably like an 8 hour day. I can't exactly remember right now. I don't know, times that by whatever.
Wow,
And maybe
that's a
I'll
lot
do.
of quick
It
drawing.
is. It's quite a lot.
That's wild. So what's on your docket for the rest of summer and autumn, aside from the Blueberry Festival? Where are you going to be?
I have been researching a lot of different festivals that go on around Maine and New Hampshire. So I'm gonna apply for those when they come up.
So, are you paid by the festival to sit there, or do you charge per sitting?
So there are different ways to do it. Some festivals will be like, hey, you're gonna charge this much, and we get this percentage of what you make. And some festivals are like, just send us a fee to be here, and you can keep all the money that you make, and you can charge your own prices. So there are a lot of different ways to do that, which is it's very interesting. I'm really learning about different ways we people, especially artists, make money and how money is moved around. Fascinating.
Yeah. So what are some of your life goals? What are you looking forward to in the near or middle distance?
I am looking forward to doing just like doing so much more, going to various festivals. I really want to go to a bunch of festivals. I love a festival atmosphere because you're right in the middle of it. Yeah, that's probably the thing I'm the most excited for.
And everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Everybody's
It's
there
a
because
really
they
great
want to
environment.
be, and yeah.
Yeah. So I am actually part of a community in Maine. I mean, the community is everywhere, but it has a strong standing in New England. Called Idols, and we go to conventions like anime conventions and nerd conventions, and we perform there. Some people sing live, and most people dance.
Oh,
It's
okay.
rooted in Japanese and Korean pop culture.
Well, cool.
So, yeah.
Well, Emily, can you please tell our Creative Maine listeners where they can find you coming up, both to watch you work or maybe snag a commission or a wedding gig, or
Yeah.
where can we find you?
Right now you can find me at just my phone number. I don't have any socials yet. I'm still working on those. My phone number is 207-252-9396. And my email, actually, you can find me at my email too, is emchaye3535@gmail.com.
Well, all of this goes into the archive information for the show here on Creative Maine. So weru.org, and then you go to the spoken word tab to get the Creative Maine archive. So all of your contact information will be listed there with the show. Well, great. Well, this has been so much fun to talk to you. I
Yeah.
think you've got a great career rolling now, and best of luck in all of your artistic endeavors.
Thank you so much.
Creative Maine is alive with activities, presentations, workshops, concerts, and all manner of cultural endeavors. At this point in the show, we highlight a few of the many calendar items going on around the region. Castine Art Under the Elms, a day of art and creativity, will take place Saturday, July 25th on the Castine Town Common. Artists of all media will be selling their works to benefit community care and outreach programs of the Trinitarian Congregational Parish of Castine. Admission is free. The annual Gray Wild Blueberry Festival will take place August 8th to August 9th at the Henry Pinnell Municipal Complex in Gray. Admission and parking are free. Come enjoy a great festival, and if you are lucky, you will find some of our amazing busker guests there entertaining the crowd. Your Bangor Band continues its 167th season and will be giving free and fun performances every Tuesday for the balance of the summer. Tuesday, July 21st at 7 p.m., the band performs at the Bangor Waterfront. At 6:30 on July 28th at Stillwater Park, on August 4th at 6:30 at Chapin Park, together with students from the Thomas School of Dance, and 6:30 August 11th at the Veazey Community School. For more information, visit bangorband.org. For a more complete listing of events, visit our website, weru.org, and click the Community Calendar tab. If you would like to add an item to the community calendar, you may follow the prompts on the calendar page and submit your own event for the list. If you have an event that you feel is particularly pertinent to Creative Maine, send a note with the details to info@weru.org and list Creative Maine in the subject line. You are listening to Creative Maine on WERU 89.9 FM and on WERU.org. Now we continue to discuss the busking life with Zach Woodard, aka Dusty Buckets.
Welcome, Zach Woodard, to Creative Maine. I'm so glad you could join me today. This is a very fun interview. We're talking about busking on this episode. And you are a member of a busking group collectively known as Dusty Buckets, which I love. You play all over Maine in outdoor situations in the manner we refer to as busking or outdoor performing. So who and what is Dusty Buckets? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for having me. I'm really, you know, happy to be here and doing this today. But also, yeah, Dusty Buckets is, I started it, you know, a few years ago now, and it kind of was just me for a while alone, and then just kind of busking around the country a little bit. And then there's been kind of people who join me and for a little bit and then leave or whatever. Lately, I've kind of had, you know, kind of a few more steady members. I'm trying to kind of make it more of like a set group, but I still do a lot of solo stuff. So it's a concept, I guess.
Okay.
You know, it's me, but then there's also, I play with, you know, three other people. So four of us total sometimes just me. And it kind of depends on the gig and or what we're doing, really.
Okay. Well, online, it defines you as a string band. So can you talk a little bit about the music you play, what strings you work with?
Yeah, so we're a string band. You know, we, especially when it comes to busking, which for those, you know, who don't know, busking is just essentially playing music on the streets. It's a form of street performing. So yeah, we're a string band, and I'm definitely like a, I guess what you could call a traditionalist when it comes to busking. And whereas like a lot of people nowadays, when they busk, they use amps or electricity, and I just don't, it's not for me. I'm a big believer in doing it, you know, how it's always been done, and just, you know, no electricity. And so, yeah, we're a string band. It's kind of evolved from that. And just the fact that, you know, we do a lot of acoustic stuff, and we bring a lot of noise and energy. And yeah, obviously we do play gigs where we do use electricity, but when we busk, we're strictly acoustic. And that's kind of taught me to be pretty loud with my voice. I've gotten pretty good at projecting, because certain situations I kind of have to. But yeah, you know, we don't have any drums or any electric guitars or anything like that. We're just, it's me. I play guitar, banjo, and then my friend, he plays clarinet and some pedal steel guitar and bass. And then my other friend, she's a phenomenal fiddle player. And then my other friend on upright bass. So we're all, you know, very acoustic and as traditional as we get.
Down on my luck.
of music are you actually playing? Is it completely improvised? Do you use old Dixie tunes? What are you playing?
So it's definitely some kind of Dixie in that kind of realm. It's a lot of stuff I learned just again on the streets. I spent a decent amount of time in New Orleans, and it's just I picked up a lot of the tunes from down there, just and I love that, just that sound. So it's a lot of that kind of stuff. When people ask me, I call it just like kind of ragtime or street jazz. There's definitely some I guess gypsy jazz or Manouche kind of influence in there. Because I love the sound of that stuff, and I love the rhythm of that kind of music. So it's kind of a mix of just like I kind of all that stuff, really, and it's kind of its own weird thing.
Do you ever play for dancing or that kind of situation?
Sometimes I mean I don't we don't like play like dances specifically, but I would love to. But oftentimes it's very danceable music, so people definitely get up and dance, which I always love. I love seeing that. But
Well, it's all about giving people a good time and having some fun, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
so no Dixie funerals for you. You're
No, I've played one funeral, and it was good, but it was a little awkward. It's the guy whose funeral we played had enjoyed our music, and he passed away, and they thought it would be good to have us play the funeral. And I'm thankful for the opportunity, but it was just my first time ever doing that, and it was a little I've done weddings and stuff like that, but that was the first funeral, and that was a little different. But just for our style of music, it's not what you'd expect at a funeral,
Well,
but
I guess the whole thing about a New Orleans funeral is it's a joyous send off to the next world.
definitely. Yeah,
But
definitely, definitely.
not everybody, I guess, around here understands
Yeah.
that concept so
No,
well.
definitely not.
So tell us a bit about you. What was your musical and theatrical journey? How did you arrive at your current form of music and musicianship?
Yeah, so I grew up here in Maine. I'm from Gardner, Maine originally. I grew up in a pretty big family. There were five kids, and then my parents, so seven of us under one roof there. And we're all pretty musical. My dad especially, so he was kind of probably my biggest influence. He plays out, he still plays out. He's in his 70s and he's still out playing. He's always played. He's a bass player, so we played together sometimes. And so, but then my sisters, some of my older sisters growing up, they played, and we would always kind of have like a little band growing up. And they don't really play anymore, unfortunately. But I obviously kept going with it, and that was really my passion. That's what I knew I wanted to do from an early age. And so, around probably, geez, 14, maybe 15, I played with some friends, and we started a little. I guess it would be a punk band, I guess. But
Garage band situation.
yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and I played drums for that actually. And I actually used to. I'm not really a. I have nothing against it, but I'm not a super religious person. Like I said, nothing against it if people are, but I used to go my, I used to have to go to church on Sundays, and I actually kind of enjoyed it because I was the first, some of the first times I ever got up in front of people and played guitar was at church. So I actually kind of look back pretty fondly to to going to church and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have gotten their musical beginnings in a religious situation.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So I, like I said, I'm not a very religious person, but I appreciate that aspect of it. Definitely, it's kind of a good way to me for me to kind of dip my feet in and at a young age, and I respect, I appreciate that a lot.
Was it the guitar that got you started off?
Yeah. So my dad played bass, so I kind of, bass is obviously a form of a guitar. It's very similar to guitar. So I kind of had an interest already, and then I had heard really one of the biggest influences for me. I heard Jimi Hendrix play, like how the way he played guitar, and that was kind of the Beatles and Hendrix and that kind of stuff really kind of set me on fire when I was probably 13, 14, and I just wanted to play like Hendrix. And it's funny, I still there's a when I take solos or something now, there's still a lot of Hendrix influence and licks that I still use today without even realizing it. Yeah, that was If I could think of like one person that, like, when I heard that, I was like, oh, I want to do that. It was, I would say probably Jimi Hendrix, which is, it's just kind of funny. Yeah, that was a big moment for me. Just like, oh, when I first heard that, I was like, nothing I'd ever heard, you know?
So where'd you go from that initial punk band, garage band thing? Where'd you go from
Yeah.
there?
So I didn't do anything with it for a while. I did like school band and stuff like that. I did jazz band, like, which was like an extra credit kind of thing. So I did jazz band and school band all throughout high school, middle school and high school, which I played clarinet and saxophone. And then I kind of got out of school and I didn't really do anything musically for a few years. I was just kind of trying to figure myself out, really, and just kind of not doing much, like just working and not, honestly, not doing great in life and just not making a lot. I would practice and but I wasn't doing anything with it. And then I met a good friend of mine. I was walking to my apartment one day years ago, and he was out on the sidewalk busking. We got to talking. First time I had ever met him, and I got to talking to him, and we ended up becoming very close friends. And then we started the band, and we hit the road together, and the rest is history, really. And then he kind of showed me the ropes, and for a year or two, and then we went down to New Orleans together. And like I said, we started the band, and then we kind of parted ways just naturally. We're still very close, but yeah, the rest is kind of history, really. So I kind of owe him a lot, really. He kind of got me out of my funk and kind of got me out of my shell, really. And yeah, hadn't, like I said, I hadn't done anything musically publicly in a very long time. So he kind of gave me that push I needed, and I'm very thankful for him for that.
So you clearly enjoy the busking
Yeah.
that you do. So what do you specifically enjoy about this form of audience engagement? I mean, are there moments where you wish you were playing in a concert hall, or how does it hit you right?
Yeah. That's a great question. I've heard somebody say, I don't know who said this, but it like street performing is like kind of the last true form of like American, what was it? What do they say? Last true form of American like expression or art. I can't remember, but that kind of resonated with me. It's just kind of the last, everything else has been commercialized and marketed, but like you can never do that with street art, which I really enjoy. Just at its core, it's just kind of, you just can't really do it. And then just like I just like being out there, and like it's kind of a funny thing. Like if people stop to listen, then they really enjoy it. But like if they don't, then I guess just an interesting study in humanity and people, when you're kind of out there and people either look at you and they would, with disgust, like you're just some street urchin or they love it, and when they love it, they really love it.
It's funny. I mean, you're also providing an atmosphere which they may or may not realize consciously. But people are funny because, especially in cities, I don't know what it is, that they're self-conscious about enjoying something
Definitely.
publicly.
Definitely,
Do you
definitely.
find that?
Oh,
And
all the time, all the time. And that's another reason why I actually like to go do it is because I find myself getting self-conscious, and when I'm out there on the street, like I am fully exposed. I'm out there. I'm showing you like all of myself, and that's like it feels good to do that. Just be like to not be self-conscious, like you can't be. And I definitely feel that people like they like struggle to enjoy that. Like it's like yeah, they're like almost like embarrassed or self-conscious to really enjoy anything.
yeah,
And I've also
it's such a
noticed that
weird thing. Yeah.
it is weird, and I feel like there's a difference between a little bit. It's the same everywhere, but I feel like cities down south, people are a little bit more able to enjoy it than up. I feel like up here in the north, we're a little bit more closed off and kind of a little bit more self-conscious, maybe just maybe a little colder,
Do you think it's because our outdoor season is so much shorter and we don't have a street life culture?
Maybe, yeah. Probably. It's just I think so. It's also just dark, half the year and cold and just like yeah, and then it's just not nearly as warm and nice as it is down there all the time. So that definitely I think has the as a big part to do with it.
Now,
I
when
think
you're at
one.
a festival, right? When you're at a
Yeah.
festival, I got your name from the Grey Blueberry Festival.
Oh, yeah.
And so that is a place where you expect to find outdoor performance. And
Yeah.
in fact, people are looking for it when they come. So do you
Yeah.
find that's a whole different vibe?
I do. I do. Stuff like that. I like the Blueberry Festival is a good, it's yeah, it is different because like you said, people expect to see it and they're expecting to go out and enjoy themselves. And so it's definitely a little different than busking. Busking is like when you find that, that one or person or few people who really enjoy it, it's like it's almost more satisfying just because you've like weeded through the rest who haven't. So it's like it's almost more enjoyable when you finally find, that one person you can connect with. It's almost more. And an interesting thing about busking is I've heard it comes from the Spanish word buscar, which is to search. So I kind of always like keep that in the back of my mind, like the entomology. I don't, is that the right word? It's from buscar, which is to search. So I always just find that interesting to kind of keep in the back of my head. But I love to do, stuff like that where people are expecting music. And I do a lot of farmers markets, just because I'm a farmer and I just love I love the atmosphere. It's just like people are always happy and there's always kids dancing and they're done early. So I have the rest of my day, which is kind of nice. But
What kind of farmer are you, Zach?
I work on a dairy farm in Monmouth. I don't own it. I'm just an employee, but I love it. It's a nice dairy farm in Monmouth, and I work here with the cows, and we got pigs, and me and my fiance, my partner, we own the sheep, but we keep them on the property here, and so it's fun. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting contrast to go from just kind of I was, street performer for a few years, and I was just kind of either living in a car or hitchhiking, or I did some freight train hopping for a little bit to go from all that to just like kind of the total opposite, just very quiet, like.
Settled.
Which I love it, but it.
That's quite a romantic life. Now you can, look back on your youth and the romance of it that,
Yeah.
might not have seemed like it at the time.
No, definitely not a ton, not all the time anyway.
Not all the time. Well, what's on your docket for the rest of the summer and the autumn?
Yeah, so we got a lot of cool stuff coming up this year. It's nice actually. We're doing some festivals. We got well, the big one, we'll be playing at the Common Ground Fair again. We played it last year and we're going to be playing it again this year, which I'm really looking forward to. And then I believe next in August we're doing one in Machias just called Farmers Fest, which is another kind of bigger one. It's going to be a bunch of friends and that'll be fun. And then we got all kinds of stuff. We're very busy, almost a little too busy.
Well,
I love it,
that's great. Never too busy.
yeah, right.
So, how can our Creative Maine listeners find you to hear you, maybe snag the group for an upcoming event? Where can they find you?
Yeah, so we're on Instagram and Facebook, just under Dusty Buckets. If you look up Dusty Buckets, we'll pop right up, and then recently, within the last year, I made a website, and that's just www.dustybuckets.com. That has all of our information. You can either just shoot us a message on Instagram or Facebook, or if you go on the website, it has my email, which my email is just my name, zachwoodard94@gmail.com. But like I said, the website has all that information. My number is on there as well, and also has our schedule, which, like I said, right now is very busy. We do about 80 shows a year, so
Wow, that's a
yeah, so
lot.
it's a lot, especially working full time. It's a lot.
It's
But
a
I
lot
love
when you
it,
gotta feed the cows and then you gotta travel and go play. It's a
it's a
lot.
lot. It isn't, yeah, it keeps me busy. I'm one of those people. I'm either extremely busy and or just not at all and just not doing as well mentally. I need to stay busy.
Well,
But I
cool. Well,
love
it
it,
sounds like you are. Well, we're
yeah.
going to sprinkle some of your music through the
Yeah.
program today, so
Great.
everybody should listen for that. And I really want to thank you for coming on with me. It's such fun to talk
Yeah.
with you.
Thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Great. Well, have a wonderful rest of the summer and autumn, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Glad to have you on the program. We are in an unusual situation. Steve and I have just played a Bangor Band concert, and we're sitting in the park after the concert having our discussion for Creative Maine. So if you hear a little extraneous sound, that's what it is. All the happy concert goers leaving the venue. So Steve, you represent three wonderful musicians who collectively comprise the Blue Hill Brass, a group that plays all over Maine in the summer and maybe other seasons as well, performing in outdoor situations in a manner we refer to as busking. Would you be able to define busking for us and maybe describe this form of performing and tell us how the group came to be doing that?
Well, it certainly is basically just street performance. Whether you're a musician or an artist or a vocalist or, you know, any
circus performer,
juggler, anything, anything you want to share with the general public. The name busker actually came from a Spanish verb called buscar, which means to find.
To find.
So you find someone, I guess, walking down the street. And I think the British started it first. And it's basically just playing on the street for money. For you put your hat out or open up your case. And so we've been doing a lot of that the last couple of years. It's not our primary focus, but we do a lot of it during the summertime.
Mm-hmm. So how did you come to say, hey, guys, let's go outside and open the case?
Well, we used to play, when we were a quintet, we used to play in Bar Harbor quite frequently, a couple of times a week during the summertime. And that was our pre-busking days, because we were able to get some people to support us there, to sponsor us. So we would go there twice a week and play from about 5 to about 9 o'clock at night. And then as the group got smaller and the opportunities for getting sponsorships dwindled, we said, well, let's just go out anyway. So as a trio, we've been doing it because we all enjoy it very, very much. It's a bit of a haul to get there, but once we're there, it's a lot of fun to do that.
So one of my questions was, what specifically do you enjoy about this form of audience engagement, and how does it compare to the experience of playing, say, in a concert hall or a church?
Well, it's just pure fun. It really is, especially when the people appreciate it. When you're in Bar Harbor, for instance, and there's a big crowd there, they're just kind of wandering about, just looking at everything, trying to take everything in, and then you pop up on a street corner as a brass trio playing all kinds of music, and they're just totally taken aback, but they're loving it. And it's just a great, great feeling. And we like to get to know the people, and we meet people from all over the world, and they all want to get to know us, and they're very curious about who are you people, and do you do this all the time, and do you do it all winter, and all that kind of thing. So, and we've met a lot of people that we've seen over the years who have come back, and their children have even grown up, and you see them years later, and they're older and excited, and so it's pure fun is what it is. It's hard work, but fun.
Hard work, but fun. I guess that encapsulates music altogether.
Yes. Yes, and it's not like concert stuff where you're sitting there reading printed music and trying to execute it really well in a very quiet situation. We're playing all head tunes and memory things, and even sometimes just creating arrangements on the spot for special requests that people have. So
I think people don't generally understand how much talent and training it takes to extemporize like that and just stand there and let's make an arrangement and just do it.
And with only three members, a trumpet, a trombone, and a tuba, it makes it very, very difficult. You don't have a rhythm section, you don't have a bass, and you don't have all those other things. And but we do it, and we have a lot of fun doing it, too.
You do it really well, and I'll be sprinkling some cuts throughout this program. So
yes, we have to do kind of... because we've only got the three people. So Kurt, especially, our lead trumpet player, does a wonderful job. He carries a lot of the melody all day long, and he's got wonderful, wonderful ideas and talent. So
yeah, wow. It's sort of like an economy band.
Yes, it's like the Reader's Digest version. You know, you can recognize it, but you're not sure what's left out.
So tell me a little bit about you and maybe a couple of the other members of the band. What were your musical pathways? How did you come to be together?
I'll start off in score order. We'll start off with the trumpet, which, and that would be Kurt Brosmer, who's from, I believe, Springfield, Massachusetts, and got his musical training at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. I believe his degree's in composition. And he moved up to Maine at some point, like I did, and was principal trumpet with the Bangor Symphony for something like 40-plus years.
Wow.
Yeah. And and the other member of our group is Paul Greenstone, who hails, I think, from Long Island. But
we won't hold that against him.
No, we won't do that. And he's a great person anyway. And he lives in Brunswick, and he's taught all over the country. He's been a college professor at Cornell College and at the University of Alaska at Fairbanks. And he's done at least, I think, three high school band directorships here in Maine. I think Waterville, Lake Region, and Brunswick.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're all retired now. We're all very old.
Hey, I resemble that.
I know. So it's amazing. And we've been together for 42 years.
Now, you've been a music teacher in the public sphere also, right?
Another 42 years, yes. I just retired in 2021, I think it was, after the pandemic, and I taught middle school for 42 years, so. Yeah.
Wow. So anything's fun after that?
It was fun.
I don't mean it that way.
It was fun while I did it, but it was great to get to try something new.
I bet. So when people are wandering around and they're in the park or at a festival and they see people playing music, they have no idea how many years of training and experience are going into these people who are just look like they're having a good time.
And you know what's interesting, too, is that a lot of people just don't hear acoustic music anymore. And the children especially, they will stand in awe and stare at you, and it's not because of the way we're playing, it's because of the sound that they it's staggering to them, and the parents love it because they just push the kids right out there, and they experience something different.
It's so present, and
it's so different than dragging amplifiers around and setting up for hours and hours. And we just tumble out of the car, kind of, you know, and hit the street, and we're playing, and it's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's on your docket for the rest of the summer? And just
can't you ask? We're going to. You don't want to hear. You want to hear them all, or well,
whatever.
Okay, we're going to be.
Give us the highlights.
We're going to be in Bar Harbor, I think, Friday or Saturday. This coming Friday or Saturday, it would be what, the 10th or 11th of July.
Okay. Well, this program goes up the 16th.
Oh, the
16th.
So. Oh, well, that, it was great. People loved us in Bar Harbor. So, you know, this goes out the 16th. I forgot about that. So we're going to be at the Yarmouth Clam Festival on the 18th of July. And we're going to be at the Ossipee Music Festival on the 26th. We're going to be at the Bangor Fair for 2 hours on August 4th. And we're doing the Rockland Boat Show. Fancy.
Ooh.
It's a great thing. On August 7th, we're going to be there. And the Union Fair on August 9th, and the Thompson Fair on August 12th, and a bunch of other stuff. And in September, too, we're going to be at Orland Day.
Orland River Day, that's right. September 12th,
yeah,
I think
so
it is.
You can check our schedule on bluehillbrass.com, basically.
And is that a good place to reach you if you are looking for someone
probably,
to perform for
well,
you? Or
probably would do the email, which would be bluehillbrass, that's all lowercase letters, bluehillbrass@gmail.com. And our manager's name, Paul Greenstone, our tubist, can be reached at 207-725-8067. 207-725-8067.
Great. So do you see yourselves continuing to do this into the future, or do you have other projects planned?
Well, we actually work, as long as we have jobs scheduled, we do it. Like, we played 4th of July in New Hampshire, and we're already booked for next 4th of July.
That's
so
awesome.
We have to keep it going. So as long as the jobs are there, we keep it going, and there's no reason to stop. As long as we can walk and talk and play, yeah.
That's a lot of playing, too. Boy, you need iron, what we call iron chops for
that's
that.
Right. Kurt's got great chops, and Paul just plays all day playing that big tuba and carrying that thing around. He does a great, great job for us. So it's a lot of fun, and we're hoping to continue it as long as we can.
Great. Well, thank you for the illumination of what Busker comes from. And about all how you do what you do, where the magic happens.
That's right, it is magic.
It is magic. It absolutely is magic. I appreciate that. And we're going to be hearing a few numbers from the Blue Hill Brass coming right up. Thank you so much, Steve Norris.
You're welcome, Adina, and enjoy the music. And we'll look for. Don't hesitate to stop us on the street and talk to us.
Great. Thank you.
Take care.
My talented guests, Emily Shares, Zach Woodard, and Steve Norris. Our theme music is composed and performed by Ariel Chapman. If you have questions or comments for me or any of our guests, please send them to info@weru.org. Please write Creative Maine in the subject line. Please join Creative Maine at WERU 89.9 FM or on WERU.org for another eclectic episode on Thursday, August 20th at 4 p.m. Eastern, when we will learn about an exciting new creative home for artists in Rockland. Thank you so much for listening. This is Adina Salmonson wishing you a wonderful month of the arts and crafts that enrich your life and bring you joy.